We've started the work to rule in the province of Ontario. Many parents were greeted at both elementary and high schools with information sessions, and not picket lines, but information sessions put on by the unions. They did so before school, in the lunch hour, and then again after school. What you all learned from those information sessions, well, let us know at 7-10-10. What I'm starting to feel as this continues to go on is that we inch closer and closer to a strike, which, at least in my opinion, is something the union has wanted all along. But let's talk to the education minister and see how he is feeling today on a day where the work to rule has begun. Minister, it's great to have you again.
Thank you so much.
Let's start off with the messaging to parents today. How close do you think we are to parents being at a point where they should be panicked about a strike?
Well, look, I mean, the unions have made a determination to escalate. Teacher unions have made this decision to escalate irrespective of the moves I've made. I don't think there's a need to panic. I think that would be imprudent, but I do think it shows that the unions seem dogmatic on escalating at any cost, irrespective of what I do. And for context for families out there, I mean, last Thursday, I had listened to Ontario students. I met so many organizations, the Ontario Student Trustees Association, among others, who had said to me on online learning, the 4 mandatory courses, we think we should bring that number down. So I announced we're going to go to 2 and give more time to students to finish those courses. On the day I made that announcement, the decision was made by 2 unions to escalate on their pathway to a potential strike. And so my point is, I use that as an illustration just to contextualize folks, no matter what I do, it just doesn't seem to be enough. And I think what it exposes is that this isn't about substantive issues on online learning or classroom sizes. What the fundamental fault line at the table is about compensation. And on the OSSTF website, the Secondary Teachers Federation, who publicizes their information of what they want and what they're seeking from the government, they're asking for a lot more than the $700 million we're prepared to invest or expend in compensation for educators. Now, we're proud of our teachers. We've got a world-class education system. Don't get me wrong. I'm never going to denigrate them or their craft or our system. We've got a great system here, but I believe we should improve it. And if we're going to put more money in the system, it should be going to help kids, not to enriching further salary and benefits, which are already the second highest in the country. And so my point is $700 million, 1% each and every year for the life of the contract is reasonable, and they seem to be committed to seeking a $1.5 billion taxpayer investment for that.
Let me ask.
That's not where parents are at. They'd rather see more money in the class, to be quite frank, and so do I.
Okay, maybe panic was the wrong word. So let me sort of re-ask it based on what you just said. You're talking about every time you try to extend an olive branch, they escalate the situation. That, to me, if that doesn't change, we're going to be in a situation where these teachers are out on strike. Would your best advice be to parents tonight, be prepared in the next couple of weeks, make arrangements now, start, phone calling relatives, babysitters, start at least getting that plan in place because we may be headed towards that?
Well, I think the unions are on a pathway that gives me a bit of angst, but I felt a bit like this with QP, and I turned to a mediator, and the mediation process helped us deliver an outcome that was, and dishonestly, I know it sort of seems sometimes cliche, a win-win-win, but it really was. I mean, to be quite frank, we achieved our objectives on the 1% for compensation and salary. And they achieved their objectives, a shared objective, when it came to investing in more frontline supports for kids with exceptionality. So I actually think my message to parents is my aim is to keep the other parties at the table, because this government is never going to leave the table, never going to turn their backs on kids. And I'm going to hope that mediation is the pathway. Now, some of the unions have criticized even the idea of mediation, which is, for me, that is baffling, because it's an independent third party. It's not my mediator. It's an independent source that helps to bridge the gap of outstanding issues. And I want families to know that I remain absolutely mission-focused and mission-critical on achieving a deal that provides continuity and a continuum of learning, because I just find it, and I've said this to you before, but I just think it's so, there's nothing more compelling than what unites Bob Ray, Mike Harris, Kathy Wynne, and Dalton McGuinty. It's that under each and every premier, under each and every party in our system, effectively, the unions have done the same thing. It's the same story every 3 years. And look, that may be their right, but it frustrates families. And to your point on the QP deal, it's not right that on a Sunday night during deadline bargaining, as the term is called, where last-minute bargaining, trying to pressurize the government, that only hurts our families. Some families in this province, many of them, middle-class people, working harder and taking home less. It is unfair that we impose on them a child care options that sometimes they cannot afford. Single parents, low-income families, it's just not right. And so strikes hurt kids fundamentally. They do not hurt governments. They don't hurt anyone else. They fundamentally hurt our children, which is why I'm calling on unions to cease from escalation and stay at the table. Let's just get a good deal that we could all walk away with a sense of pride that it's a decent deal.
I've heard
that's what I'm seeking here.
I've heard from a number of teachers that have told me off the record that they would, you know, and I can speak in vague terms here, but they all are teachers that I happen to know, that have said that their union is basically telling them that a strike won't happen until after Christmas because, well, they want to get paid over the holidays. Is there any truth to that, and have you heard anything about that?
I'm not getting, the union intelligence is not coming my way these days, as you can appreciate, but I've heard from teachers who have said some of that. I don't want to validate it just because I don't know the variety. I can't confirm the accuracy of it, but I have heard that. But I've also heard that that the unions could do. I mean, look at history with CUPE. They started a partial withdrawal of work on a Monday. On Wednesday, they announced a full-out withdrawal, which led to a potential strike on the following Monday. This, like, all happened in 5 days. So, I wouldn't rely on that too heavily, although it's reassuring to hear, and I've heard that a little bit. I'm not sure I'm there to have any strong opinion one way or another. I think parents, will be prudent. I will communicate widely. I've been on your show weekly. I mean, I'll do everything I can to communicate. There's obligations on unions should they take the step again to escalate, especially if it gets to a strike. They have an obligation to provide 5 days' notice. But at the end of the day, my message is we shouldn't be there. We shouldn't even be where we're at today. We should have had a deal like we did with CUPE. And we offered, just for context, the exact same deal through our mediator. We offered the exact same deal to OSSTF. They have two components of the teachers' union, secondary teachers' union. They've got the teachers and education workers. So we offered the same deal that CUPE got, which are education workers. We gave that same deal to OSSTF workers. So these are the same people. They do fundamentally the same thing. They're just at different unions. And OSSTF said no. And the fundamental issue was compensation. So, as much as at times it could be a bit frustrating to hear these stories, I want families to know that there's an ebb and flow of this process. It is not abnormal to have these types of things happen and transpire. I just want them to know that irrespective of what the union decides to do, I am going to remain squarely and singularly focused on being reasonable at the table, because children's education should not have to be interrupted because of, I said this before, a bunch of lawyers can't get their act together. This government is not going to leave the table, and I hope that's a pledge the unions will make as well. The trajectory they're on is that may change, and I really hope that they do not walk away. They continue fighting hard at the negotiating table for their members. That's their job, and I'm going to continue doing that for students in Ontario.
We've also heard from teachers on our text board, and let me bring this to you very quickly in the 60 seconds that we have, that the government was only at the table for an hour last week. That you really, you're talking one thing in the media, but at the same time, when it comes behind the closed doors, you guys are only there for a very limited time, and then you walk away. Is there any truth to that?
No. I mean, last week we met with, OSSTF, we met with EDFO, the French Teachers Association, AFO rather, and EDFO. We met with the teachers workers of OSSTF. I mean, that's not true. I mean, we've been.
But how long are these meetings in general that you're sitting down with these unions? How long are they?
It depends. Our negotiators could be there for hours. They could be there for minutes. I mean, in the context of, for example, when we tabled the option for OSSTF education workers, it wasn't a long discussion because they rejected it fairly immediately. So, I mean, when we talk about the nuance of how long one's there, folks, the government is never going to leave the table. The only entity that has left to date and granted they did return, but they did leave at one point or escalating are unions in the province. That is just a matter of fact. And I think I've been clear. My record is clear. We got a deal that provides predictability because parents in the province, I think, are just fed up with every 3 years having me back in this scenario. And I seek a resolution that provides, continuity for their kids. But at the end of the day, even for the parents, who I think, as you off the top mentioned, have a lot of anxiety about what the future of their child's education is like. And I just think it's unacceptable. And if all the parties could expend all the energy, they're doing all these information picket lines, if they could expend all that energy at the table, we may have had a deal by now. So my hope is over the coming days, they will reflect on mediation. I think it's a credible pathway, to be frank, to get a deal. And if not, we'll continue negotiating in good faith and just try to get a good deal for all the parties, but most especially for the kids of this province who you know, today, we, as unions, as you know, they made a decision to not do any mathematic focus for professional development for teachers. At the time when we've seen a systematic decline in math scores in the province.
Let me ask you, I mean, if we have time next week and we can make time for you, why don't you come into the studio? Because we've got a lot of people that want to ask you questions directly. If you're open to that idea, we'd love to have you.
Okay, well, we'll through our teams, we'll be in touch. I'd love to come to the studio. I've been to 1010 a few times, but never on your show. So we will certainly work on getting me on next week, but I'm just grateful for the opportunity to chat with you and just affirm to families in this province that we're going to get work hard to get a deal and keep kids in class.
Thanks for taking the time.
Okay, thank you.
Ontario's Education Minister, Stephen Lecce.